I'd just like to thank BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. I always talk about therapy with you guys, and therapy has helped me tremendously in my own life. But when you're going through anxiety, it can be very intimidating to go and see somebody face to face. Not to mention the fact that therapy can be quite pricey. So BetterHelp offers a team of online qualified therapists at a much more affordable price than traditional therapy. During the worst of my anxiety, I was actually not going nearly as often as I would have liked to just because I could not afford it. BetterHelp really takes into account your personal experience and what you're going through and what you're looking for. So you actually complete a survey first that helps to personalize your experience and the therapist that they match you up with. If you don't get along with the therapist or it's just not a good match, then it's easy to just switch to another one. If you'd like to get started and you'd like to go and complete the survey, go to betterhelp.com/tamarin and I'll also include the link in the caption for you. BetterHelp offers video, phone, and text chat, and you can decide on whichever one feels most comfortable for you. When you use my link, you will also save 10% on your first month. Well, what do you know? Here we are again. I have made it my mission to be more consistent, and of course, it's only the very beginning of the year. So happy official new year, because we're officially in 2024. But I really wanted to sit down and have a chat with you about health anxiety again. And I'm not sure if my mic is picking that up, but it has been so peaceful all day so far in my room. The minute, literally the minute that I hit record, there's a crow going crazy outside my window. There's a whole bunch of them outside my window, and they'll be quiet for ages, and then suddenly they'll start up, and I swear to you, every single time I hit record, whether it's a podcast or on my stories, they start, and then the minute they start going, it throws me off, and I'm confused as to what I'm even saying. So we are in my bed again, because usually I sit at a desk by my window. But my room right now, I swear, I need an under construction sign, because I've been slowly starting to try to tidy it up because I have so much stuff. I'm currently in the process of trying to figure out what stuff I can actually get rid of, just to kind of minimize minimize? Become more minimalist. That's the word. I can't get it. I'm trying to become a little bit more minimalist. It's kind of hard with all of my books, and that's one thing that I'm okay with having a lot of, and I'm really grateful for my books, of course. Right now I have too many books, so my room feels very messy because my bookshelves are overflowing. There's a whole bunch of books on my floor. I'm trying to get rid of clothes that I don't need because I feel like I have all these clothes that just sit in my closet that I never wear, and I know I'm not the only one. So let this be inspiration for you too, to just spring clean out shit that you don't need. It feels good when you do it. So anyway, I'm on my bed chatting to you guys. I am very happy to be here. It's Friday at, what is the time? It's 3:01 p.m. exactly on Friday, the 5th of January. It's my brother's birthday today. He is 30 years old today, which is crazy. I can't believe that he's 30. And I'm 35. It's just insane. But I'm not sure when you'll be listening to this. It may be tonight. Otherwise, over the weekend, or definitely next week. But I knew that I wanted to sit down. I have a few things I want to chat to you guys about. I know a lot of you guys are struggling, especially with health anxiety and symptoms. So I wanted to sit down and just have a chat with you. How has your first week? It hasn't been an official first week yet as I record this. But how has the first week of this year been for you? Have you been allowing yourself to ease into it, or have you been putting a lot of pressure on yourself already? We discussed that in my previous episode, I think, where it's just we put so much pressure on ourselves. Maybe it was in my newsletter. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves, to have to start our new year right. And especially if you live somewhere where it's cold, it's winter right now where I am in Canada, our bodies naturally crave, our bodies just want us to move slower. Like they crave rest and just being really gentle with ourselves. So when we're trying to start a new year and force ourselves to be motivated and to tackle all these things, it doesn't feel right for our bodies. It just doesn't feel right. And then we get frustrated with ourselves when we aren't able to stick with it. So that's why I ask you, like, are you easing into this year? Are you being gentle? I can see you, you know. Or are you being hard on yourself? And if you're being hard on yourself, or if you have been hard on yourself this week, just ask yourself, like, can I do things differently moving forwards? Because remember, we can make that change at any time. I feel like I've had a pretty productive week. I've had, I think, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I felt so good and I got so much stuff done. And I was like, I wonder why I feel so good. Like, what have I been doing differently? And then, of course, I realize it's, you know how we have, like, you know, with our monthly cycles, we have like, there's really one good week. If you're a woman and you get your period, like we have one good freaking week a month. Okay. And this has been that week for me. And during that week, it's like, it's that week that's like right after your period ends, where you're heading up to ovulation and like the middle of your cycle. But it's like, that week is like a week of freedom. And that's where I've been. So I felt more clear-headed. I've been sleeping okay. I've been feeling more motivated. So I've really been trying to take advantage of feeling good to, you know, work on things that I've been wanting to work on. But then yesterday, I felt like it was a good day until the afternoon or the evening. And I felt my motivation start to wane a little bit, and I felt myself feeling really irritated as well. And then instead of, like, this is something that I do now. I try really hard, and I'm not perfect at it, but I try really hard to not immediately have a reaction and get frustrated. Usually that just happens, but then instead of me just feeding into that and going along with that, I'll stop and I'll be like, okay, why am I feeling this way? So what I came to, like the conclusion that I came to yesterday was when I asked that question, I'm like, why am I feeling so irritated right now? Why am I feeling so kind of overwhelmed? And I had a look at where I am in my cycle, because I always do that. I think it's so important to really pay attention and track that, because it can tell us a lot and it can help us figure out how we're going to feel. Like, we can anticipate how we're going to feel, and then we can kind of schedule certain things around that based on how we know we're going to be feeling. So I look at my chart and I'm like exactly on day 14, which is like smack bam in the middle, smack bang, smack bam. Anyway, it's like right in the middle of my cycle. So the minute I start ovulating, and then like, then it's the lead up to, you know, your next period, I can immediately start to feel some symptoms. Every month is different, but it's so frustrating. It's like, we don't have, and this is like, I can be as healthy as possible, but I will still feel at least some kind of symptoms. So I came to the conclusion, okay, so I'm in the middle of my cycle. I'm currently ovulating. So that makes sense then, why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. So what is the point of being frustrated with myself? I can't help it. I can't like stop myself from ovulating. I try to be grateful for the fact that my body is working as it should. And trust me, as I'm saying this, I know how easy it is to say this, because when we're feeling irritated, when we're in that place, it's really hard to get ourselves out of it. And last night I was feeling super irritated. So I stopped and I figured out, okay, so I'm in the middle of my cycle. It makes sense why I'm feeling this way. I've also been doing a lot of work this week, and I haven't really given myself a lot of breaks. So I was like, okay, what can I do right now? So it was evening already. It was probably around 5 or 6 p.m. It gets dark here now by like 4:30. So I asked myself, like, what can I do? I encourage you to do this with yourself. And I'm going to get into this when I start talking more about health anxiety in a sec. But ask yourself questions like, what can I do right now to feel better? And for me, it's like, I still had things on my to-do list, and I had planned to like go sit down and
you know, like smash them out. And I was like, no, you know what? The way that I'm feeling right now, I'm not going to work properly. I'm not going to feel good about the work that I do because I'm just not in the right mind state. So what can I do? So obviously I'm on my phone a lot because, you know, I'm in the community a lot, and like the work that I do is all online. So I had been on my phone a lot yesterday. I know that that was contributing. When we're staring at screens, at the blue light, it can cause us to feel irritated, actually. It can cause us to feel very drained and fatigued. So it's like, what I need to do is I need to get off of my phone. I need to figure out if I can, like, look through my to-do list. Can I put some work aside and perhaps do it today? Or on Monday or another day, you know, like, just put it aside. And I realized that the stuff that I had on my list, like, it wasn't urgent. It wasn't, there was nothing due or urgent to be done by last night. So I put my to-do list aside. I got on my yoga mat. And trust me, I was still feeling irritated. I didn't feel like doing anything. But I've come to know myself so well, and I've come to know my body so well and what I need. So I knew that if I get on my yoga mat and I stretch out and I just like release some of it through movement, that I knew that I was going to feel better. Despite how I felt getting on my mat, despite how I felt in the first few minutes where I was still irritated, because that's the thing, like, don't, sometimes I'll encourage you guys to do things, but it doesn't mean that as you start doing them, you're going to feel amazing, but you kind of just do them anyway. I'm not saying to force yourself. If you really don't want to do something, you obviously, it's up to you to make that choice of whether you should be doing it or not. But I've learned that sometimes I have to just kind of drag myself on my yoga mat, because I know that once I'm there and once I'm a few minutes into whatever I'm doing, like whether it's a super gentle flow or something a little bit more intense, I know that it's going to help me feel better. It kind of gets me out of my head. Well, not kind of, it does. It gets me out of my thinking mind and into my body. And the minute I'm there, and then I'm able to be present, I'm able to feel more anchored and like get in touch with my breath, and then everything changes. And then I just took the night off. I was going to cook myself some dinner, but you know what? I'm going to be totally honest with you. I wasn't in the mood to cook. I believe everything in moderation. I've been eating really well all week. I've been cooking my meals. I've been taking all my supplements and doing everything right. And I was like, fuck it. I just feel like getting a takeout tonight, and I got a burger and fries from this really good place. They make everything from scratch and it's delicious. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to feel guilty for this. I'm going to have this burger and fries. I'm going to just relax and let myself relax. I'm going to read my book. One thing though is I'm still going to bed too late. I'm a night owl. Like, I love staying up at night. I just really enjoy it. I like staying up and reading and just, I just really enjoy it. I don't like going to bed early. I'm like a child. Like, I don't want to go to bed, but seriously, like, I don't like going to bed early. I only go to bed around 1, but lately it's been closer to 2, and that's just not helping me because I can feel it, and I'm getting older now. But seriously though, like, I feel it. And especially, like, you know, like I told you, like, to pay attention where you are in your cycle. Like, when you're ovulating or leading up to your period, your body needs more rest. So that is something that I do need to work on that I'm not great with at the moment. But I woke up this morning feeling okay. Mentally, I've been feeling okay, but I've been struggling to focus on anything. I've been struggling to... And this I know, these are signs of ovulation for me. I have a lot of brain fog and I struggle to focus, and I get very tired and I don't really want to do anything. But I have a to-do list today of things that I need to do. And to be honest with you, I did that thing I did yesterday where I was like, what can I do right now? Like, and I told myself, you know what? I'm going to sit down and have a chat with you guys because I don't feel like doing anything else. I don't feel like doing computer work. I don't feel like I'm in a state to write anything right now because I have some work that I need to do. I can't focus on it. So I was like, you know what? When I don't feel like writing or doing work, I'm not in the mood to get on my yoga mat right now, so I feel like talking and having a chat with you. So here we are. I am currently sipping on some peppermint tea. Peppermint tea is good for helping you to focus. It's more stimulating. So if you find that you're really struggling to focus on a task, try drink some peppermint tea. And enjoy the taste of it. It's one tea that I really do like the taste of. So I'm sipping on that, hoping to become more focused as I talk to you. I'm drinking out of a Halloween mug. Clearly I'm confused as of to where we are in the year, but I'm a big fan of Halloween and just everything creepy and spooky. And that just popped in my head. I just watched a movie recently. I watched it on New Year's Eve, actually, because I didn't do anything on New Year's Eve. I was not in the mood to go anywhere or get dressed up. Especially with the weather, I think it was like snow. It was that like when it's not snowing but not raining, but it's in between. It was doing that all day. And I think I'd gone for a walk early in the evening. I'd been feeling really frustrated and like I had a lot of emotions going on, and I was like, I need to get outside. And I went outside and went for an hour walk on New Year's Eve, and the weather just like wasn't great at all. Like I was rained on or half rained and snowed on the entire time. But anyway, when I got home, all I wanted to do was just be cozy in my room. And I watched this movie called, I don't know why, like talking about my Halloween mug brought it up because it was a creepy movie. It's called Saltburn. And I was looking for something to watch on, I was on Amazon Prime, and it just popped up as a recommendation for me. And I had no idea what it was about. I just decided, you know what, I'm so damn indecisive, I can never make my mind up with anything, that I'm not going to sit here and watch the trailer or go look through other options. I didn't allow myself to do that. I was like, this one is recommended for me, it looked kind of creepy, I like creepy, and I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna watch it, I'm just gonna just push play and just see. If I don't like it, it's not the end of the world, I can put something else on. And I actually ended up really enjoying it. It was pretty disturbing, and like the ending is like, oh wow, okay. But I actually really enjoyed it. It's one of those like kind of slow burn, like those movies that like the tension builds up and you kind of have an idea where it's going, but you're not 100% sure. I really enjoyed it. I'm not going to try to explain to you what it's about because I feel like I'm not good at summarizing things really quickly and I don't want to give anything away. But if you like kind of like creepy, if you like creepy, just watch it. You may enjoy it, or like slow burn mystery kind of movies. I really did enjoy it. So anyway, that's my news about a movie I watched recently. I've also started a show on Netflix if you're looking for something to watch called, oh, what is it called? Fool Me Once. That's what it's called. There's this author called Harlan Coben, and a lot of his books have been remade into shows on Netflix, and I think I've watched all of them. Like, one of them is called The Stranger. I remember really enjoying that one. I don't remember the names of the other ones, but I've enjoyed all of them. So this is his new one called Fool Me Once. I believe it's called that. I hope I'm right. But it's good. Like, I'm enjoying it. I really do enjoy... I've enjoyed all the ones that I've seen. So if you're looking for something to watch, it's a mystery, like a murder mystery one. If you enjoy that, then give it a try. You may like it. This has been a ramble already. What, like 17 minutes into this, it's showing me, and we haven't even started talking about the whole topic of this. But anyway, I like to sit down and I like it to be natural, and I like to just... I just want it to be casual and feel like we're talking as friends, because you listening to this are my friend. Like, we're friends here, and I want you to feel that always. I don't want to just be like, so, like, and have it so rigid and so formal, like, the topic of today. And I will do episodes like that. I'm sure there are people that prefer that, but this is who I am, and, like, this is how I like to do it, and I know you guys like this, so I don't want to just change it and be like, topic of discussion for today is health anxiety, let's break it down, you know, like, I don't want to do that. I want to talk casually to you guys. So let me think, there was something that I was about to say. Yes, that's it. If one thing that I talk about a lot, and I just wanted to say this before I start talking about the whole topic of this podcast to begin with, is it's very important to move your body. Like, I talk about a lot of you guys, on, like, during the one-on-ones, have let me know that you're in therapy, which is amazing, and of course I'm very proud of you for doing that. But one thing that I will say, and I've learned this from experience, is that talk therapy can only get you so far. When we have a lot of trauma, or we just have a lot of things that we need to kind of process through and work through, talking about it is one part of it, but it's not all of it. Like, we can sit and talk about our trauma and things, like personal situations and things that we've been through till we're blue in the face, but then we have to expand on that. And movement is a very big part of working through trauma. So I don't know if you work out, or if you go for walks regularly, or if you do any kind of movement, but a lot of people that I talk to, they don't really do any movement, and a lot of people don't realize how important it is to move our bodies. And listen, let me just say this as well. If you are anxious and you're dealing with a whole bunch of those really awful physical symptoms, like your heart is racing all the time and you're dizzy and you can barely catch a breath, I know, like, working out is the last thing that you're even going to consider. I mean, I would try to do, like, I would put on a walking workout on YouTube and I wouldn't be able to do it. Like, that's how bad my anxiety was. Like, I could not do it. So I fully understand. But there's a lot of, like, when I say movement, I'm not meaning like you have to go do something crazy and like push your heart rate all the way up. Sitting down and just like on a yoga mat or on the floor or on your bed or anywhere that's comfortable and just doing some stretching, like stretching out your body, because when we're anxious, we hold our bodies very tightly. There's a lot of tension going on. So just stretching out our bodies and doing some deep breathing, if you're able to, like, and remember, every day is different. So you may have days where you're like, yes, I feel good today. My symptoms are feeling under control. Then those days you could maybe do something slightly more intense just to get your blood flowing. The minute you do this, you're helping your body to, you know, physically release excess adrenaline and stress hormones. So yoga has been a massive part of helping me on my journey. It's been one of the biggest things that's helped me on my journey. So I started yoga in 2015. I mean, it's been, what, like 9 years now that I've been doing it. And I discovered, and if you've been here for a while, you're so tired of me saying this, like, you've heard me talk about her a million times, but I discovered a teacher on YouTube. Her name is Adrienne. I had tried yoga before with other teachers that I had found, and I'd never enjoyed it. It seemed too complicated and too difficult. I felt like I had to squeeze myself into, like, all these poses, and I would always say, I'm not flexible enough, yoga is not for me, it's not my thing, I think too much, because honestly, my mind is, I have a very, very active mind. Like, it's always just going, it's always on, right? So I had always said, no, yoga is not for me. Then I discovered yoga with Adrienne, and then, I mean, there was a major shift for me, and she ended up being the teacher that I really, really resonated with. So every January, she comes out with a 30 days of yoga practice. And what I absolutely love about her practices is that her flows are designed to suit anybody and everybody. Like, you can modify it, it's not complicated. She'll give you options to make it easier, to make it more intense if you want to, if you know, if you're more advanced. So I just absolutely just love her, and I love her personality. Like, she's very down to earth and kind of weird and strange, and like, and I mean that in the best way, and I relate to people like that. So if there's one thing that you have, like, if you have not been moving your body, please consider adding that in as part of your healing this year, because I promise you, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. So every January she has it 30 days. I think it actually started in 2015. I think her very first one was in 2015 in January that she did. And I discovered her that October. So than I did it then, because you can obviously do it at any time of the year or at any, like, you work at your own pace. But since then, every January, because it was so popular, she's brought out a new one. So I look forward to them every single year. So there's a new one for this year. You don't have to go all the way back. Like, if you've never done yoga in your life, you don't have to go all the way back. You can start with anyone that you want. You could start with this year's one. And then she has a different name for it every year. And this one is called Flow. So go to her channel if you'd like to start, if you'd like to go along with me. I've been doing it every day so far. It makes me feel so good. And yeah, that was my whole point. Like, I just wanted to let you know, like, if you've been wondering, if you've been wanting to do yoga, if you've been wanting to do any kind of movement, get your blood flowing, stretch out your body, if you have a lot of muscle pain and tension, it may be something that you want to join me in, and go check it out. I'll leave the link for her channel in the caption of this. So finally, here we are, and I'm about to talk about the whole point of this podcast episode, which is health anxiety. Something that, if you're listening to this, I know you definitely have, or you have dealt with in the past, I'm sure. Or I know there's some people, and this is amazing, there's some people that listen to this who don't even really struggle themselves, but they listen to try to have a better understanding of a loved one or a friend in their life who is struggling. And I just think that is, I think that's beautiful, honestly. Like, that's, to show that kind of support to somebody you care about is just, there's no words for that. So, you know, whether you're here listening for yourself or listening for somebody that you care about, I think we can all agree that health anxiety is an incredibly, incredibly difficult thing to live with. And I'll try to keep my language clean here, because, I mean, you get it. Like, you understand. If you go through it, health anxiety is it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. And all you long for are, when you're in a spiral, when you're having an episode, all you long for are a few moments of peace. And I just shared a new blog post recently. It's another thing I'm trying to be consistent with, where I was talking about, and I'm gonna kind of incorporate that into this podcast episode, and, you know, kind of focus on that, because I know some people prefer listening over reading. But I know how frustrating it can be when you've been struggling so much, and then a new year rolls around, and you're like, you enter the new year still struggling and still in an episode and still dealing with health anxiety and all the symptoms and all the fears and obsessions and whatever else. So again, as a reminder, you know, we're human. We're doing the best that we can. There's no rules that say once a new year starts, you know, I have to feel better, because there's been a lot of wording that I've been hearing from you guys. The one-on-one chats have really been opening my eyes to a lot of things. And one thing that I hear a lot is, I need to control my health anxiety. Like, we're in the new year. This is the year that I have to control my health anxiety. And there's these undercurrents of frustration, which I completely understand. And there's these undercurrents of urgency. When I hear people say this, I feel this sense of urgency, like it has to happen right now. I'm tired of living this way. I need this to be sorted right now. And again, I completely understand that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, you shouldn't think that way, because having gone through it myself, I understand that desperation that you feel, that absolute desperate need to get out of it, to just like claw your way out of it, because you feel like you're stuck, right? But the thing is, it's not going to, and this is, we don't want to hear this, but it's not going to happen overnight. You've been struggling for so long, it's not going to just disappear. So instead of, and this is important too, like, instead, you have to pay attention to how you're talking to yourself. You have to pay attention to your wording. That awareness is important again here, right? So instead of, I have to be, like, I have to get better right now. Like, I'm so sick of this. I have to get a grip. I have to get this under control. ask yourself, what are, like, break it down. Like, that's the secret. Break this all the way down. What are some steps that I can start today that will help me to start managing my anxiety, my health anxiety in the long term? Now, before I get into that, before we start touching on some steps that you can take, there's something that I want to just talk about here. So a big thing, and I want to get this out of the way, is that a lot of people who struggle with health anxiety, myself included, is we struggle to believe that this is health anxiety that's making us feel this way, that these symptoms that we're experiencing are just due to anxiety. If you weren't having these thoughts and these doubts and these worries, then you wouldn't have health anxiety. Like, that's the whole point of it. Like, health anxiety makes us think that we are seriously ill. Health anxiety doesn't say to us, oh, you just have health anxiety. Hi, I'm here. This is health anxiety. Health anxiety speaks to us in a completely different way. It says, hey, you know that symptom you're having? I think it's this. I think you should Google that. You Google it, you see all these symptoms. It says, yep, see? Confirmation. That's how health anxiety talks to you. Health anxiety doesn't make itself known, but this is exactly what it does. So if you weren't having these doubts, because health anxiety will always, always make you doubt, then you wouldn't have health anxiety in the first place, right? Health anxiety will make you see a video about illness or hear a story about someone who is sick or has a disease, and it will tell you that you have the same disease. And it will link up all of your anxiety symptoms so that it's in perfect alignment with this story that you've seen, so that your brain genuinely starts to believe that you have this disease. And the thing with this is, a lot of people think that when they see a specific story or hear a specific story about someone who's ill, people start to think that that's a sign. It's another thing that it does. It makes us think that things are signs or omens. If you have death anxiety, it doesn't help at all. Health anxiety and death anxiety usually go hand in hand. We're so afraid of dying, of being sick, of dropping dead, or whatever the case. But I'm telling you, like, if you didn't feel this way, if you didn't think things were a sign or an omen, then you would not have health anxiety or death anxiety. So just keep that in mind. And then another thing, when I talk to people who struggle really severely with health anxiety, and this was me too, so I completely understand, is the focus is not on health anxiety. The focus is not on, how do I get to the root of my health anxiety? How do I work through health anxiety? The focus is on the symptoms. And the symptoms are a side effect of health anxiety. So we're trying to get reassurance about a specific symptom that is causing us incredible fear and panic. Because the symptom is so intense and so scary, and we have so much fear around it, that we just need reassurance now. And we tell ourselves, if I can just, you know, go for enough tests at the hospital, or go see the doctor enough times, or get my partner to reassure me enough times, or Google enough times, or whatever it is, whatever your methods of reassurance are, and they're always just an illusion because they don't last. We think we're getting reassurance, but it never lasts. And that's the thing, like, it's going to come back. So you will get, even if you do get reassurance about a symptom and you're like, oh my God, I feel so much relief, I'm no longer worrying about my chest pain and my heart palpitations, I feel truly relaxed now, I know that it's not something serious, oh, I'm so grateful. But then, because you haven't been treating the health anxiety and getting to the root cause of that, there is going to be another symptom that you're going to end up worrying about, whether it's shortly after the one that you've just found relief for, or in a few weeks or a few months or even a year, because you're not getting to the root of where your health anxiety is coming from. I'm not going to go heavily into all the possible triggers and causes of that in this episode. I may do a separate episode on that. I am going to refer to my book here, or I'm going to let you know about my book in case you didn't know. A lot of people know about my first book, Help, Why Am I So Anxious? And my A to Z Encyclopedia, which is really a reference book that allows you to look up anything that you need to in regards to anxiety. But a lot of people don't know about my latest book. I haven't been talking about it as much as I should be. I've really been putting the focus on my A to Z because that's a book that I feel like people need immediately if they tend to run to Google and if you're looking for constant reassurance. But my latest book, it's called Health Anxiety is Ruining My Life. That one is only based on health anxiety. It's every single one of my health anxiety stories, and I go into everything there. I am working on making an audio version of that so that you can have the audio book too. But I go into everything there, like all the possible causes, and like I really go deep into it in there if you're wanting to dig deeper. This episode is more just having a casual chat about health anxiety again, health anxiety intentions and things that you can do in this new year to help you stop, you know, maybe doing the things that you've been doing up until now that haven't been helping you. So going back to what I've just been saying, where, you know, we tend to focus on the symptoms rather than going deeper into the health anxiety and where it's coming from and what some root causes are. I completely like understand that because we deal with such intense symptoms, right? Like the symptoms are so intense. Like if you have GAD, generalized anxiety disorder, you're dealing with a whole bunch of physical symptoms already that your brain is fixating on. If you have health anxiety, your brain is looking at every symptom as something incredibly serious. And this is now an added layer because we're putting so much fixation, like we're hyper-focusing on every single symptom and sensation that we're only intensifying it. And I want to read a part of my blog here. I will include the link of my blog in the caption as well if you'd like to read the whole thing, but I just want to read the section of my blog which is kind of going along with this podcast episode. Someone without health anxiety may experience a random twitch or tingle and one, either not even notice it as they are not hyper-focused on their body and every single sensation, or two, notice it briefly and just move on and not even think of it again. Now let's flip this onto someone who has health anxiety, yourself perhaps. You are already on edge, already hyper-focused on even the tiniest and most normal sensations. So as a result, when you experience anything, your brain immediately sees it as danger and you end up in a state of complete panic. Okay, so I'm going to keep going here. I just want to read this little section as well. Sometimes when I try to explain things without like reading them, it can come off as very rambly. So I just want to read this because this may help you. It may register if you listen to me read it versus trying to summarize it. So this is some more of the blog post, okay? You can focus all you want on trying to rid yourself of a symptom, but it will keep coming back or a new one will always be waiting for its time in the spotlight. If we desperately want something gone, it usually tends to hold on more tightly. It's like when I was having severe and daily multiple panic attacks a day, I so badly wanted them gone, and the more I wished for them to be gone, the more I got in return. The minute I stopped fearing them so much and was like, eh, whatever, if I have a panic attack, then so be it. And just keep in mind that this was when I was at the end of my rope and beyond fed up of panic ruling my life, then suddenly they eased up. Think of someone taunting you and trying to get a reaction out of you. The minute you react, the worse it gets and suddenly it's this huge blow up. However, if you walk away or don't react, even if this person is fuming and having a massive reaction right in front of you, suddenly they run out of steam as you are not fueling their anger with your response. It's the same with anxiety and the panic that comes with health anxiety. How are you reacting? Are you panicking and telling your brain things like, oh my god, I'm having a heart attack, or I'm definitely sick, I just know it, or the top one, I will never get better? Try to keep in mind that our response is important. Okay, so I'm not reading anymore, just in case you think that anything that I say now is me still reading the blog. I just wanted to share that with you, and I hope that that resonates and makes sense. It's very different, like, so when I'm talking about your response, okay, it's like we can't control the emotions that come up as a result of us suddenly experiencing a new symptom or seeing something scary or thinking that we felt something weird in our body. We can't control the emotion and the absolute fear that comes up when that happens, but we can control what we do afterwards. Like, we can control our response to that. So usually what happens is when major fear comes up and we're in that place of just like, fear is not logical. So it's the same with like any kind of big emotion. Like when you're angry, you're not thinking about what you're saying. Like if I'm really angry, I need to walk away from a person because I can be very hurtful with my words. Like if I'm hurting and I'm angry, I can be really horrible. Like that's a part of myself that I don't like, but it's me being honest. So when I'm really angry, I know that anything that I say in that moment is not going to be helpful and I'm going to regret it. It's the same with the fear. Like when those waves of fear are flooding over us because we've been triggered, our health anxiety has been triggered, anything that we do immediately in that place of fear, we're probably going to regret. Because let's be honest, one of the biggest things that you're probably going to do is you're going to immediately go on Google, and Google never helps, okay? I was a Google addict. Somebody who left a review on my book called themselves a serial Googler, and I like that because it makes sense. I was a serial Googler myself, and it does not help. You will always end up seeing something, even if you see some positive things, you will always end up coming across something that is going to fuel how you are already feeling. It's going to fuel that fear and intensify it to the absolute max, and it's going to make whatever you're dealing with feel a million times worse. So something that you could try this year, because it's a new year, we want to do things differently, but like I said, you have to break it down and see, how can I do things slowly, what can I do? So a big thing that you can tell yourself is, how can I do things differently in that moment when the fear comes up? Do you immediately react or do you sit with yourself? Because whenever a really massive emotion comes up, it's just like with panic, it's how adrenaline is flowing, right? And it's going to come back down. So if when you're triggered, you immediately jump onto Google, something that I encourage you to do is to just sit with how you're feeling for a second. Pretend that the internet is down. Pretend that your phone, like turn your phone off if you have to. Pretend. You don't have access to the internet. Oh my God, it sucks. But oh well, I guess I have to sit with this emotion now. And sit with it and feel it and take, please. Like I say this and I know that this goes over a lot of people's heads. And this is something that is kind of just dismissed. Oh, taking my deep breaths. Okay. But taking deep breaths is what's letting your nervous system and your brain know that you are okay. And it's what's going to bring down those stress hormones immediately in the moment. And it's going to allow you to think more logically. So that would be my very first bit of advice, is to sit with it first. And it's uncomfortable, I know. Like when you have all of that adrenaline flowing, it's action-based, it's action-oriented, it's your body naturally wants to be doing something. So when you're not doing something and you're sitting still, your brain is like, what the heck, get the fuck up. Like, we have to go, we have to do this, we have to Google, we have to do whatever else, right? In terms of panic, for me, it was like, we have to run out of here right now, because I would literally run out of stores. So as something that you could do differently this year, it's to tell yourself, you know what, instead of acting the way I've always acted before, I'm going to first sit with it. You're going to sit with it. You're going to sit. Like I said, you're going to pretend that you don't have access to the internet. You're going to sit. You're going to take some slow, deep breaths. Something that I really like is to take a really long and slow deep in through deep breath. What am I saying? A slow, deep breath in through your nose. So you'll breathe all the way up until you can't breathe in anymore. And then once you're ready to breathe out, you're going to hold it. You're going to hold your breath just for like to the count of three. 1, 2, 3. And then when you breathe out, you're going to purse your lips as if you're breathing through a straw. If you have a straw, go ahead, use it. There's a breathing tool. I'm actually partnered with this company and I never talk about it. And it's actually so helpful. I'll include them in the caption as well. But it looks cool, and it's a necklace that you can wear. And it's a breathing necklace, right? And it does exactly what I'm talking about. It helps to slow your inhale and exhale, which is amazing for calming down your nervous system quickly. So you're going to breathe out really slowly, as if you're breathing out through a straw with your lips pursed, and it's going to really draw out that exhale, okay? And by drawing out that exhale, you're going to start to feel the difference, but you just have to do it as many times as you need to. You may not get to a place where you feel completely calm, okay? Because a lot of people say to me, you know, even after a panic attack, I'm still anxious. Even after a panic attack, I still have symptoms. You may not get to that place of calm that you want to, but it's not going to be as intense as when you were first triggered. Okay, so now you've calmed down your nervous system, and now it's a case of deciding what to do from here. So I am actually going to have a one-on-one with one of you guys in 5 minutes. So I'm going to take a break here. And it wasn't even necessary for me to say that, because I can just continue and you wouldn't have even known that I was gone. Anyway, like, I tell you guys everything and what's happening, but I have a one-on-one with one of you guys in 4 minutes now. So I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to take a little break and do that. And then when I get back, we will talk about some things that you can start to do once you've sat with that fear. Okay? Okay, so I'm back. I had a one-on-one with one of you guys. I absolutely love our one-on-ones. I've had some really amazing conversations. And like, while you guys come to me, obviously wanting reassurance and you have questions, you often teach me so many things as well. And I'm always so open to learning and like just discussing certain things and books that have helped us. And I really do enjoy the one-on-ones. If you are new here, or if you didn't know that I do one-on-ones, then find the link in my caption. I'll share it in there. Where you can book a session with me. I offer texting and I offer phone calls as well. Okay, so I want to get back into what we were talking about. I also had some lunch, and I also found my smoky quartz gemstone. And if you're into crystals and any of that kind of thing, then smoky quartz is a really good one to help with grounding. And it's really good for anxiety, actually. I've actually had requests for, like, people have asked me to talk more about crystals and gemstones and things like that. And I did for a little while, but then there were also the people that just didn't understand it at all. So then it just kind of put me off. But I think that's something that we do, is we focus on, like, the negativity versus, you know, the positive side of things, and like the people that are interested or the people that we are helping. So I really do want to get into that. Maybe I'll do some blog posts so that way it's not like on my page, and if you choose to learn more about it, you can, and if you don't want to, then you don't have to. I'm also considering opening up a little like online crystal store where I'll sell like a bunch of these that help with anxiety in particular. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that. I can just feel myself going off on a whole other ramble. So I'm going to just get back into our topic of conversation here. And we ended off where I was encouraging you guys to try to do things differently when you're triggered with your health anxiety and when you feel that major fear wash over you. Okay, so I just want to quickly insert something here as well. I have so many things that I always want to talk to you guys about, and I'm just like, Tamarin, like, stick to the topic of conversation. But anyway, I just want to say this because I'm experiencing it right now. If you experience any cramps, like when you're ovulating, or like heightened anxiety, or like any kind of you already deal with anxiety symptoms, and then you find that they're more intense at certain times of the month, especially during ovulation or your period or the lead up to either one, I just want you to know that that's normal. Like, I'm sitting here right now, and this isn't a great month for me with ovulation. Like, I've actually got quite a lot of cramps. It feels like period pain, but like, obviously my period is over, and I get so many questions constantly about ovulation and about periods and about symptoms, and is this normal and is that normal? So I just wanted to include that here. If you do notice heightened anxiety when you're ovulating, it's completely normal. And pain is normal too. Of course, I always have to say that I'm not a doctor and I can't diagnose you, but I'm just talking from personal experience and just sharing like my own experience to hopefully help you if you're dealing with the same symptoms. Okay, so you've done something differently. You've done things differently than you may have ever done before. You've been triggered with your health anxiety. You've felt extreme and major fear and you've sat with it. And that alone is doing something differently, honestly. Even if you still go back, even if you sit with yourself and then you still end up on Google, I obviously don't hope that that doesn't happen, but even if you do, just the fact that you sat with it versus immediately reacted from that place of fear is you doing something differently, and try to acknowledge this. I think we can be really hard on ourselves where we're like, oh, I'm always doing the same thing and I'm always stuck in these patterns and I see myself doing it and I can't get out of it. But just like if you are able to sit and take even just one breath, like say usually you're triggered and you immediately jump onto Google. Now this time you took one breath before you did it. That's doing something differently, okay? That's showing your brain that you're doing something differently, and it's only going to progress from there in a positive direction. But you have to start somewhere. And sometimes when we've been doing things for so long a certain way and they're so ingrained in us, like these bad patterns that never lead us down, you know, good roads or good paths, it's going to take time. And sometimes it's going to feel like we're not making any progress, and our changes will be so slight that we won't even acknowledge them, and we'll be like, oh, it was pointless. You know, I took a deep breath, but then I went on Google. But try to acknowledge that you did something differently, no matter how small that thing may be or may feel for you. I have a big bottle of water next to me that I've been sipping on all day. So this is just your reminder. I feel like I need to do this throughout every episode, like just give you little reminders. So this is your reminder to drink your water, because staying hydrated is really important when you deal with anxiety. It's really important overall for overall health, but when you're dehydrated, even just slightly, you can actually experience some really horrible symptoms. So make sure that you're drinking your water, okay? This is just your reminder. And herbal teas, warm water, all of that counts as well. And if you're drinking a lot of caffeine, really try to drink water alongside it, because like caffeine and sugary drinks only draws water out of your cells and actually dehydrates you. So a lot of the time I think people think that they're drinking soda and that they're hydrating themselves, but you're actually dehydrating yourself, and you need to be drinking water alongside it or afterwards. Okay, so let's get back into it. So you've done something differently this time, and we ended off where you've sat through the fear, okay? I'm not saying that you're not going to still be feeling awful, but that initial wave of fear, the illogical wave of fear where we kind of act from a place where we're not thinking logically when we act from that extreme place of overwhelming emotion, right? So you're at this place now where you've sat with it. You're like, okay, Tamron, I've like sat with it, and what do I do now? So now you can see how you feel, and it's going to be different for everybody. Like for some people, that urge to Google may completely disappear once you've sat with it for a little while and you're not in that place of being extremely triggered. I mean, if that happens, that obviously is the goal and that is amazing. But I mean, realistically, you're probably still going to want to Google, or you're going to still be trying to seek reassurance, because that fear is not going to disappear. If you suffer with health anxiety, it's just going to become less intense. So this is where you can try to take another step. And like I said, it's going to happen very slowly if you've been doing things a certain way for a long period of time. So again, I just do want to just kind of emphasize again that if all you did was take a deep breath, that's all right. Like, that's fine. Let that be okay. And tell yourself, you know what, next time I'll take the deep breath, and then from there I'll try to do something differently and I'll add on to it. But if you feel like you want to take another step here, then try to see what else you could do. So, okay, so you're still feeling the urge to Google. What could you do instead? Okay, like that's a question. Like, ask yourself questions constantly. Get curious versus getting angry and frustrated. And again, I know it's very easy to say, but make curiosity and being curious your word of the year when it comes to your health anxiety, trying to understand. okay? Because how can we act from a place of like not understanding what's going on? We have to start to understand before we can move forward. So here are some things that I would recommend that you could try. So you could, listen, let's talk about Google. Fuck, Google. If you have to Google, okay, you like, Tam, I can't, I have to Google, I can't. Okay, I hear you, I see you, I feel you. So what you're going to do is you're going to search whatever it is you're worried about, chest pain, heart palpitations, like hearts keep skipping beats, whatever. And afterwards, at the end of your search term, you're going to put anxiety, heart keeps skipping beats, anxiety, or dizziness, anxiety. Like, you're going to add that onto your search term so that the results that come up are going to tell you how anxiety is contributing to what you're dealing with, because you are anxious. Like, these are, if you're listening to this, then you have anxiety. Your brain is telling you, but what if? You remember, we're trying to understand our anxiety versus going off track into, oh, what medical condition could it be? Because that's exactly what anxiety is trying. It's trying to get us, it's trying to steer us off track, if that makes sense. Now, keep in mind, I'm not encouraging you to Google, because even doing this, you could end up seeing some scary stuff. I don't want you to Google. Like, I wrote my A to Z book to keep you off Google, because anything you want to look up is in there, and I explain to you my experience and how anxiety may be contributing. But I do also realize that you may be completely new to this. You may be listening to me for the very first time. This may be very overwhelming and scary for you, and Google may be, it's funny, but like, Google may feel like safety to you, even though you know it's not safe, right? It's like a toxic situation. But hey, like, you're so used to Googling that it feels abnormal if you don't. So that's why I'm trying to give you options here. Like, if you're going to Google, I can't stop you, but I can help you to do things differently, right? That's my goal here. I'm trying to help you do things differently. We have to do things differently in order to see changes. If we keep doing the same thing, nothing's going to change. So add in your thing, and then add anxiety in after it, and then start learning about your, like, why you're so anxious and how anxiety is contributing to how you're feeling, okay? Or, and I'm not trying to like pimp out my Instagram page, I feel like if you're listening to this, you're already part of our community, like, but I just want to say this, or come to my Instagram page, look for the specific symptom that you're struggling with, because you know we have every symptom on there. And then read through the comments. Leave a comment. Comment on, like, reply to somebody else's comments who may be struggling with the same thing. Get a conversation going, okay? But try to come there instead, where you can read through other people's experiences and where you can share your own experience, rather than go to Google, where you're going to kind of be like floundering, like you're just kind of floating freely in the ocean, you're completely like untethered and like unanchored, right? Here's another common one. Like, if you find that you have your safe person that you're always going to and trying to seek reassurance from, because remember, at the end of the day, like, the person that we're going to is probably not a doctor, and we keep going to them and hoping that they'll kind of be like our stand-in doctor, and then when they don't tell us what we want to hear, we're frustrated, or, you know, we kind of keep putting pressure on them to like tell us what we want to hear. And trust me, you don't have to feel guilty, because, you know, we just want reassurance. And unless you suffer with health anxiety, you don't understand that feeling of like desperation. I was there. I did the same thing. So I get it, and I'm never judging you. But what, like, ultimately, the person that we're going to, they don't really know. They kind of just telling us what they think we want to hear, and they don't truly know. And I mean, let's be honest, like, even if we go to the doctor, because we suffer with health anxiety, we may not even believe what the doctor tells us and be like, you know, I don't think that this doctor knows what they're talking about. Or they give us reassurance, but there's still that little seed of doubt in our belly, where we just like, I don't know, I think this doctor doesn't know what they're talking about. So this is where journaling, and I'm careful with saying the word journaling, because sometimes saying that word can seem intimidating, like, oh, journaling seems like such, like, I have to find a notebook and sit down and really know what to write and spend a lot of time But journal, when I say journal, I mean, honestly, grab a piece of paper, like grab any book you can find. It doesn't matter. The point is, grab some kind of paper and a pen and just write. Like, write. I mean, even if you write a letter to the person that you usually go to for reassurance, like pretend it's a text message, but you're writing it down. Or, like, just write down how you're feeling, write down your symptoms, write down if you've ever had this before, or write and include in there, like, I know this is health anxiety. Like, try, just get it out through writing, okay? Don't let it sit in your head. Writing things out can be really helpful. And again, because we're all different people, different things work for different people. So this might not be a thing for you. For me, it's like a sometimes thing. Like, sometimes it helps me, and sometimes I don't want to write. And I'm someone who loves writing. Like, I tend to get out a lot of my emotions through writing, but sometimes I don't feel like it. So just kind of see how you're feeling. But this could be an option for you if you are someone who tends to go to that person in your life seeking reassurance. I'm not saying that you shouldn't reach out for support and go to them, but if you're going to someone daily trying to seek reassurance, I mean, you're not really going to get what you need. It's just a temp. It's like an illusion, just like I spoke about earlier. It's like, it's that temporary reassurance that just, it gives us peace for a very short while before it's coming back and we're going back to the person again and again and again. So the whole point is to just, and again, I'm going to say it again, like, sometimes we have to hear things multiple times before they really start to make sense to us, and before they really start to be kind of like drilled into our brain, right? Is get curious, like, just ask questions. Ask yourself questions, get to know yourself. Why am I feeling this way? Like, even if you're getting frustrated over how you're feeling, why do I feel frustrated? Why are you frustrated? Why do you want to feel better? Why do you not want to live this way anymore? Ask yourself questions all the time. Usually we can ask one question and then just break it down into so many smaller questions until we end up getting to the root. So ask yourself questions, write it down. If you're dealing with a symptom, start like a health anxiety journal where you can write down the symptom that you're feeling. This has actually helped me tremendously in the past, where I was dealing with, I think it was also during ovulation, I was dealing with a lot of pain for a couple months, and then it went away completely and it didn't come back for like a year, and then I was having rough ovulation cycles again, which ended up being traced back to stress and like the foods I was eating and everything. And then I had journaled out a year before when I had dealt with the exact same thing, and I ended up finding this journal, and I was now in the health anxiety spiral, feeling terrible and really anxious. And then I found this journal where I was seeing exactly how I had been feeling listed out a year before. And that actually brought me a lot of relief, of course, because I was like, oh my gosh, I've felt this before. And it was over a year ago, which means that, if it was something serious, it's now been over a year and then it went away. And I mean, all these things really help us when we're in the midst of a cycle of like a spiral, I mean, like a health anxiety episode. I'm going to be doing more symptoms episodes focusing on like individual symptoms, and then ones where I focus on multiple symptoms in one episode, because I know how helpful that is. I mean, I'm telling you guys that when we struggle with health anxiety, we so focus on the symptoms versus getting to the root. But you can kind of focus on both at the same time. Understanding the symptom, but then also understanding, why I'm anxious in the first place. Where is it coming from? What are my underlying triggers? And like I said, I really go deep into this in my new book. But and then my A to Z is more like symptoms oriented, but there's also a lot of helpful stuff in there too, supplements and pep talks that I know you need. But basically what I'm saying is, like, I'm not judging you for like wanting to get reassurance with the symptoms. Like, people talk to me all the time that who are dealing with specific symptoms, like, for example, twitching. And I'm trying to explain this is very common with anxiety and these are the things that cause it, but all you really want to hear in that moment is like, am I okay? Like, is this normal? Like, have other people had this? Have you had this? Because people always ask me, like, have you had this too? Have you had this exact feeling as well? Considering that you're someone who has dealt with anxiety so intensely in the past. So I completely understand. And this is the reason why I do so many symptoms episodes and like posts on Instagram as well, because whenever I create content, I'm always putting myself back into, the place of where I was years ago when I was at my worst, and I'm putting myself in your position because I know exactly how it feels. It doesn't matter our different stories or what's led us to, where we are right now. The point is, I know what it feels like to live in fear. Like, fear that is just like you can't do anything, you can hardly focus on anything, you just want to know that you're going to be okay. And it's like you wish that, like, you had a crystal ball or like some fairy godmother would appear to you and be like, I know you're really anxious about your twitching right now, but I can assure you with 100% certainty that you do not have a degenerative disease. Like, that would be amazing. And that's what And with health anxiety, that's what we're all seeking, that 100% reassurance and certainty. And the reality, and this is what's so frustrating, is that we will never get that certainty. We will never get that. And this isn't me being like a Debbie Downer here or whatever you want to call it. This is just the reality. We need to start accepting where we're at. We need to start accepting, that we do suffer with a mental health disorder. Health anxiety is a real mental health disorder, and working on understanding that and going deeper into that versus trying to always be looking for 100% certainty that we're never going to get, and we end up going in these complete spirals, like constant, like in circles, right? Like, we're constantly in circles and we always end up back in the same place. So apart from the symptoms episodes, I also want to I want to talk a lot more about health anxiety this year. I'm realizing, like, I really just want to dig into it, have an episode where I just share stories with you guys and answer questions. So I believe that you should see an option to send me a voice note. I don't know about the other platforms. I know on Spotify you can. It, like, if you open up this episode, it should say there, like, if you read the caption, there should be a little button there that says send voice note, or send a message. So what I wanted to ask you is if you have, I would love to, so okay, let me just explain. So I would love to do an episode where I include little voice note clips from you guys, asking me questions, right? So, like, if you have a question, I can quickly insert your voice note asking me the question and then I can answer it. So I'm gonna ask you guys, like, if you have a question for me, I would really, really love it if you could send me a voice note with your question, and then I will do an episode where I can, include them, because I would love to hear your guys, I would love to hear, like, you guys on here too, asking me questions versus just listening to myself. It will be a nice break for you guys too, where you hear other people's voices, and I just feel like it will feel more interactive. So I would really love it if you could do that. I would really appreciate it, and I think that that would be a fun episode for me to do. So if you have any questions, like, be it about health anxiety or a symptom or anything, send me a voice note. Even if you want to share something that's helped you, like, anything anxiety related is completely okay, and I would love to hear from you. So I'm going to end this off there. I know you guys like the episodes to be really long and have asked me to do like 2 hour, 3 hour episodes, and I easily could, honestly, especially if I break them up and take breaks, because my throat honestly gets so dry. I saw somebody mentioned before that drinking coconut water, if you're talking a lot, can really help, because I'm definitely talking a lot on here. So I'm gonna end it off there. I hope that this has helped to encourage you to be a little gentler with yourself and help to inspire you to do things differently, but do them gently. Like, ease into them. Allow yourself to do what you can and allow yourself to be okay with that. That's so important, okay? If you struggle with health anxiety, and I say this, I think, in the blog, your nervous system is completely shot, and you need to be really gentle with yourself, because any kind of aggressive attitude that you have towards yourself is only going to make you feel so much worse and even intensify your anxiety. So really make your intention this year to be gentle with yourself, to really get curious, to ask questions, to break things down like slowly, low, like really slowly, and just take things in teeny tiny baby steps, even if it feels like you're making no progress. When we do things in little steps, but we are consistent with those steps, what happens is it's like we suddenly one day realize how far we've come. That's what happened to me. Is I felt like I was making zero progress. I went from one day feeling like nothing had happened to the next day being like, oh wow, like I have actually come a long way. So just, even if it feels like you're making no progress, keep taking those steps, keep doing those things, but just be really, really consistent with them. Consistency is a word that I remember one year when I was, it was the start of a new year, and I was thinking of like my word for the year. I used to do this for a little while where I would every year have my word for the year. And that's actually something that you could do here right now. You could think, what could be my word for the year? So this was when our community was pretty much starting out, and I would share things here and there, but I was still, you know, working. I was going into a job every day, and I wasn't sharing as often as I wanted to. So then one year, the start of the year, I was just like, you know what? My word for this year is going to be consistency. I think this was in 2020, the beginning of 2020. I think there were like 2,000 of us in the community. No, they weren't. Were there? Something like that. Because I remember there were 6,000 of us at like the early 2020, maybe like March. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe there's 6,000 of us. But my word for that year was consistency. I was like, I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to share something every single day. And I stuck with that. And I mean, look where that consistency has got us. Like, there's over 200,000 of us on Instagram now. The TikTok community has grown too. There's almost like 100,000 of us there. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, just being consistent can lead us to all of these places. So try to make that your word. Instead of overwhelming yourself with having to do so much at once, do those little things, but be consistent with them. So I wanted to... So you know the Comfort book by Matt Haig. If you've followed for a while, I love this book. I just saw it at the bookstore one day and just got it because it just seemed like such a cozy little book. And I've often gone on my stories on Instagram and opened on a random page and shared with you what comes up. And I know you guys really enjoy it when I do that. So I opened earlier to a page, and it was so funny because The first thing that it says is be curious. So the title of it is A Little Plan, and the first thing that says is be curious. And I've just been talking to you guys about that, like being curious and like asking questions and starting to better understand, right? So I thought I could end this off, and let's be honest, I may ramble a bit after, but you know what I mean, like try to end this off by opening on a random page, which I did earlier, and then just reading to you what comes up, and then like leaving you with this. So it's called A Little Plan, and it says, be curious, go outside, go to bed on time, hydrate, breathe from the diaphragm, eat happy, get a routine baggy enough to live in, be kind, accept that not everyone will like you, appreciate those who do. Don't be defined. Allow fuck-ups. Want what you already have. Learn to say no to things that get in the way of life, and to say yes to the things that help you live. I hope you enjoyed that. And I think I'm actually going to leave it there and leave you with those words. So, as always, I appreciate you guys more than I can ever put into words. when I say things, I don't know if you just heard my stomach growling. My stomach, I have a very loud stomach. It loves to interrupt everything. Anyway, as I was saying, I truly do appreciate you guys and this community as my whole heart. Like, every time I say that, it's not just words that I'm throwing out. It's words with so much meaning behind them. I appreciate every one of you for being here with me and for listening to me and allowing me to guide you on your journey. It's an honor, actually, because I couldn't imagine ever being in a place where I could be a guide for anybody. I couldn't help myself. Like, I didn't know what to do. I felt lost. I felt lost and I felt hopeless, which are two awful words to relate to. And if you're there, I am so incredibly sorry and my heart is with you. But just know that if you are there and you hear right now, so like you're in that place, but you hear right now actually listening to me, then you are exactly where you are supposed to be and you're in the absolute right place. I am so happy that you're here. And, you know, as long as we are here together, we can move forward together. And I can't wait to see all the places that you can go as you start to, like, work through fear and anxiety that may be currently holding you back. I hope you have an amazing morning or afternoon or evening or night or week ahead or weekend, whenever you are taking some time for yourself to listen to this. I will talk to you soon. And that feels real when I say that, because you know I've said that so many times and then I fall off of doing this, but I'm feeling in a good place in terms of being consistent with the podcast and having conversations with you. So I'm going to be optimistic and I'm going to say talk to you very soon. And please, please be gentle with yourself, okay? I'll always remind you of that. And please drink your water and take your magnesium, okay? It'll make me very happy. I'll talk to you soon.